Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's JD here, and I wanted to just pop in at the start of the episode to run something past you. Do you want to be the co-host for the final episode of the Pavement Top 50 Countdown? You'd be covering song fucking number one. Of course, you'll have to share your Pavement origins story as well. If this sounds like something you'd like to take part in, and you haven't already been part of the countdown, simply shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalchemist.com, and put countdown as the subject line. In the body of the email, tell me why you're the person to do this job. You're the biggest Pavement superfan. You have until Saturday, August 31st to submit your application, and I will choose the winner and be in touch. Good luck to everyone, and now, on with the countdown.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
A stone cold classic. This is the eighth song on our list from Pavement's penultimate album, Bright in the Corners. At 24, it's Thin. Jamie, what are your initial thoughts about this song?
I think I remember really liking it kind of when I, you know, when you buy Bright in the Corners, you put it on, you go through the album, and it feels like a sensible, good closing song. The name kind of gives it away.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a woman named Helen, who frankly looked kind of lost. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week we're joined by Pavement superfan, Brian from New Jersey. Brian, how are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm doing all right. How are things in Canada?
Things are just dynamite. The sky is bright blue. The clouds are nice and fluffy. It's sunny. You know, I'll take sunny even if it's a little bit below zero, just rather than that gray shit that just, you know, ruins everything.
Yeah.
How about you?
Everything's great here. Yeah, it's the weekend. Just getting to hang out. I'm getting to talk about Pavement.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
Yep.
Well, let's do that then.
All right.
Let's get your Pavement origin story.
So my Pavement origin story, I feel like it is the most down the middle ordinary one, but it's also, from listening to your podcast, it's essentially the inverse of yours.
Okay.
So I was a college radio DJ in the early 90s, and our college radio station, the music director would call us into his dorm like once a week or once every other week. All the DJs would come in and he would have all of the recent releases and we would hit play and just see what was happening and what we might want to play on our radio shows and stuff like that. And I remember Slanted and Enchanted dropping into this gathering and, you know, he hits play on Summer Babe. And it was amazing. You know, I'm also a drummer. So I'm listening to this and this great song. One of the hooks is the hi-hats.
Yeah. That hi-hat wiggle or whatever you want to call it. What do you call that?
I don't know. Wiggles as good as anything, but like, think of another song where like part of the hook is, you know, a little hi-hat flourish. So that blew my mind. And then, you know, Trigger Cut comes right after that. So I went from never hearing of this band to, you know, I'm probably like 19, sitting in a college dorm, listening to Slayer and Enchanted, and I am 1,000,000,000% in. Like, it's everything I like. It's everything I love. So I was then just like, I was there for each record coming out, and I bought them as they came out. And I went to see the Crooked Rain tour, and I saw them on Lollapalooza, and I saw the Bright in the Corners tour. And I think by the time Bright in the Corners came out, I was a music journalist in Philadelphia, and I'm pretty sure. Wild. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I wrote a review of Bright in the Corners for somewhere. I bought Terror Twilight. So I bought all of them when they came out. I did not see, I missed the Terror Twilight show. I went to the other night of the Matador anniversary show because the other one was headlined by Yola Tengo, and they're my number one. Gotcha. I don't miss them. A buddy of mine went to the other one and said that the Pavement show, that was when he had like the Malcolm has had the handcuffs dangling off of his microphone stand to show his displeasure. And then, you know, after that, it went from being a present tense thing to Pavement went into past tense. And I bought the reissues when they came out. But I wasn't, when they got back together and were playing in Central Park, I think my son had just been born. So I didn't go see that, but they were really just kind of a past tense thing for me. And then kind of two additional things happened. The first was the pandemic. And just because of the kind of music guy I am, when we got sent home to work remotely, you know, I listen to music when I work from home, and I like to set like little projects or parameters for myself to make it interesting. I'll be like, today I'm only going to listen to songs that this drummer is on or whatever I'm going to do.
Oh, cool.
And since I thought we were just going home for like a month or two, I was like, I'm only going to listen to stuff I have on vinyl. No CDs, no streaming. It's just going to be vinyl. It'll make me stand up every 20 minutes. And, you know, it'll just be like a fun little parameter because I have a bunch of vinyl, but it's not the biggest part of my collection. And the only Pavement I had on vinyl, I had this extra live LP that Matador sold along with the Bright in the Corner Nicene Creedence reissue. It's okay. But I also had Terror Twilight, which I had listened to, you know, I bought it on vinyl, I listened to, and I was like, there's no Spiral songs on here. It feels kind of clean. It just didn't connect. But by that time, I was listening to your podcast, and this was the only one that under my rules I could really listen to. So I listened to the shit out of Terror Twilight, you know, in 2020. So it had, you know, it had been out and somewhere in the back of my head for a while, but I really engaged with it. And so now I'm like all in on Terror Twilight all these years later. And, you know, then they came back for their Latter Day reunion shows. And my buddy and I turned 50 as they rolled into Brooklyn. And so we're like, and he lives not far from King's Theater. So we're like, we're going. And we went to one of the King's Theater nights in Brooklyn, and this is like the fourth or fifth time I've seen them. And suddenly, this was the best I'd ever seen them play.
This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing about 2022.
It was amazing. I mean, I guess like I would describe when I went to those shows during the initial run, like everyone was playing their parts as best they could. Or, you know, and which was very good, but they were all just kind of doing their part of the band.
Yeah.
On this tour, they were together.
I thought so too.
And like Malcolmus was almost like a master of ceremonies. And I felt almost like Spiral was like the music director, you know, like from the big band days. And they were just, they were together. And the songs sounded better. They had the visuals going in the back. You know, there was the big crowd. And it was just, you know, my buddy and I, who, again, we'd heard Slanted and Enchanted in college when it came out. And we're looking at each other like, we couldn't believe that this was the best Pavement show we'd ever seen.
That's amazing.
It just didn't seem possible.
Right.
You know, because that's not what reunion tours are for.
No, not typically.
And then I'll just add, you know, as part of my origin story, it's made me have a different extension of my origin story listening to you and the other people you have on the podcast who generally seem to have come in around Terror Twilight or even after the initial run. This may sound pretentious or silly or whatever you want to say, but it felt like you're not as invested in the narrative that popped up around Pavement in that initial run. And that every record that came out was colored by the Pavement story. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, because I think, especially with like Wowie Zowie, Bright in the Corners, and Terror Twilight, when those came out, they were part of like a reaction to what had happened the year before with them. And it was hard to listen to those just sort of on their own merits because you were listening to them as part of the narrative. And it's fun, like, getting the chance to listen to them, not like that, sort of inspired by the way you're hearing them and your experience with them and the other people that you talk to. And it's really, it's changed my relationship with a lot of the records and a lot of the songs.
Oh, wow. Do you have a specific example of a song?
Well, I think I'll give an album example instead. You know, the narrative of Bright in the Corners when it came out was A, they got the shit back together after the, you know, Wowie Zowie being all over the place. And also everyone, especially, and maybe especially people who were music journalists, were very into the REM connection because of the production. So I was sort of talking myself into hearing REM in that record. You know, because I'd heard Unseen Power, The Picket Fence, and I knew that they had REM's producers and all that. So I was like, I listened to it as their REM record. And
I've never thought of that. That's great. Yeah.
Well, and now I can just listen to it as, you know, here's some amazing Spiral Stairs songs. And here's the band really playing together. Like, that one might be the closest to how they're sounding now.
That's a good call. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah. So that's an example of, you know, how it's changed here, you know, getting out of the narrative. I'll also say something that colored, you know, my initial run through Pavement, and I don't think I've heard you talk about this before, is when they were at their initial peak, they were this huge and overwhelming influence on like indie rock. So like, I remember I was at Maxwell's the week that Crooked Rain coming out, not seeing Pavement, but just another band with, you know, two distorted guitars and a slacky attitude or whatever. And in between all their songs, they talked about Crooked Rain. Like, that was their stage banter. It was so like that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, it was just when Pavement did something, you know, this small but invested community talked about it. And I remember getting this CD to review from this band called Number One Cup that no one's ever heard of. They didn't last very long. I think they only put out like one or two records. And the first song on the album, I remember kind of digging it, but feeling like it felt really familiar. So I'm playing it a few times and I realized you could sing the lyrics to Summer Babe to this song. And it, like, they were essentially just making Pavement songs.
They were completely ripping them off.
Well, so I don't think they were ripping them off. I think they were influenced too heavily.
That's so nice.
but that's the thing, is like Pavement was this huge influence because, you know, a lot of the other things happening at that time were, strangely enough, when you go back and listen to the Pavement catalog, was a lot noisier than Pavement. You know, Archers of Loaf, Sonic Youth, Superchunk, all that stuff, like, those are louder and punkier than Pavement for the most part. I'm not saying Pavement, like, had a clean sound or anything like that.
No, but Crooked Rain is pretty straightforward, you know? And then, like you said a moment ago, Bright in the Corners is, I don't understand how that didn't sell a jillion copies, you know?
I know.
It's such a good record. Not it's that the other ones aren't, but it's like mainstream good.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I'm putting my critic hat on, I think the answer to that is they chose the wrong single. Stereo is a weird single.
Right.
I don't think anyone hearing that would be like, get that right on the radio. And, you know, this is my new manic pop thrill here.
Right. Maybe start with Shady Lane.
Yeah, start with Shady Lane, something like that. That could have done it. But also, I mean, honestly, you know, Cut Your Hair was a fluke. And I think it created this idea that Pavement could have hit singles. And maybe that just wasn't true.
That's fair. I mean,
do you think it's true? Like, do you think they could have been like a hit singles band?
There's just some song every once in a while you hear, it's not like Father to a Sister of Thought. Like I can see that being in like on a TV show, like playing in the background near the end of the show when, you know, they're wrapping things up. But no, I suppose you're right. Few and far between. There, you know, there's a few that you can look at and say, okay, yeah, this has got the makeup of a mainstream hit song, but you're right, not many, because they were doing things that were very different than the mainstream. Very different.
Yeah, and you know, I remember going to the Lollapalooza when they were on the main stage, and you know, that, like, you've seen the videos of people throwing mud at them and stuff like
that.
But you know, part of the problem was that stage was just too big for them at that point. They can do it now, but I don't think they were I don't think they were ready for that.
And you saw that show, you said, right?
Not the one with the mud. I saw them in Camden, New Jersey.
Okay.
On the Lollapalooza, you know, on that tour.
And was it apparent there as well? Like, it just...
Yeah, because, you know, I was sitting out on the lawn. It's, you know, it was touring those kind of sheds where there's the seats up front and then a big lawn in the back, and it's a summer day, and you got your little picnic basket and your blanket and all that. And it didn't really translate that far back in a way that, you know, like Cypress Hill and Sonic Youth and even Beck, who were on that tour, like, it translated into the bigger venue, and they didn't.
Wild. That is wild stuff.
And I mean, I don't mean that as a criticism.
No.
I think it's just, you know, it was the superpowers they had at the time. It was, you know, it was more intimate. And it was, you know, again, I don't think they had whatever it is that they've gathered up with age, wisdom, whatever you want to call it, at this point, where they can go out and, you know, jam on the Hex or whatever for 10 minutes and really make it work. I don't think they had that in their arsenal yet.
No, I suppose you're right. Yeah, touring wasn't their strong point, you know?
And yeah, yet, it was fun.
And yet, every show you saw, or every show that I've ever heard people talk about, was amazing, you know, because of the venue and because of the context and, you know, that good stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, it could also be that part of their target audience is, you know, guys like me, guys like you who are, you know, ready to have that rush of emotion from, you know, from the experience that, you know, in our 20s or whatever was just kind of maybe we weren't mature enough for or open enough to.
Yes. Yes. Well, should we flip the side here and talk about song number 23?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with song number 23.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
Well, there it is on the top 50 countdown, song number 23. is the Spiral Stairs gem, Kennel District. Brian from New Jersey. Give me the goods.
This is ridiculously underrated. I'm going to say this one's top five. Well, I'll caveat that. Either this or Date with IKEA, which in my mind, they're kind of, they're sibling, they're like fraternal twin songs.
Yeah.
Got to have a Spiral song in the top five. Like the Pavement founding documents say, this is a band founded by SM and Spiral Stairs. And if that top five is all coming out of Malcolmus, I think you've done something wrong, you know? And if you're going to have a Spiral song in the top five, I would do this one. It's amazing. I mean,
it was a lot of fun on the reunion tour.
Yes. And that's, you know, I remember the night I went to King's Theater, they did not play Summer Babe and they did not play Here, but they played Kennel District. And I remember having like my little list of songs in my head that I was going to be bummed if I walked out and they didn't play. And that was one of them, but they tore it up. It was a highlight of the show.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, one of the things, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm listening to this a little bit as a drummer. One of the things I hear in the song, and I'm curious if you hear this too, I think it's a Gary drum beat in this tune.
Really?
Yeah, it's got that little like off-kilter stumble. It's not, you know, it's not evenly distributed beats. It kind of lurches a little bit as it's going forward. I hear it. Like, I hear it as Westy playing a Gary beat rather than playing, you know, Westy style on this.
You know, there's something to that because you, in my conversations with Spiral and then the tracks that ended up, I think, on the Nicene Creators edition, where it's just Gary and Spiral doing songs. Maybe it was around Terra Twilight time, actually, where it was them doing songs. And, you know, Scott's always had a pretty big place in his heart for Gary, you know? So I wonder if, you know, in creating the song, even he was like, Westy, can you give me something Gary-ish, you know? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
it's there. And, you know, I think the other reason I love the song is like, even though this is, you know, halfway through the catalog in Wowie Zowie, I don't know that this would have been completely out of place on the early EPs. It's got that like overdriven driving guitar. It's got the Gary beat. It's got the distorted vocals, but then the like sing along or shout along refrain. Yeah. That carries you out. Like it's, you know, if you place this next to, you know, on the same 7 inches Debris slide, I don't think you'd be like, one of these was recorded many years later and I can hear it so clearly. You know, I think they're akin.
It's got a little bit more sheen, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. But the, you know, it's like the ingredients and the style are classic Pavement rather than, you know, ladder Pavement or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yeah. I think, do you have a beat on what it could be about?
No, like this, I
called Pavement up, song, too tough, right?
It's too tough. And this one is even like, I was, you know, doing a little internet trolling for the lyrics. Like, the internet doesn't even agree what these lyrics are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I found, you know, especially the first line of the second verse, you know, I found the one I've got up on my screen right now says, I can't believe she's married to Roe. Like fish egg Roe.
I have too.
And there's no way it's that. And I remember just in Googling a little, like I found a couple others that, you know, a couple other theories, but I find that hard to believe that's the lyric.
Yeah, me too. Maybe that's why he's so incredulous. He can't believe it.
Maybe. I mean, I also know that there's a lot of songwriters, and you know, you've talked to Spiral a lot, so maybe he's given you some more insight into his process. But I know when you hear from a lot of songwriters, they talk about, you know, laying down the track first and just kind of putting some nonsense sounds or lyrics over it. And then some people will sit and, you know, write something very considered and serious when they go to do the lyrics. And then some people be like, oh, I almost said the word robe there. I guess I'll just stick with it. I wonder if that's what happened here.
Yeah, because it's an interesting song because you're right. I don't quite know what it's about, but it makes me feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last, like, because of the chorus, you know, whatever you want to call it. Why didn't I ask? Why didn't I ask? Why didn't I ask? And then going out, there's something really, like, almost painful about that question, you know? Like, you really feel for the protagonists here. Like, yeah, what the fuck, man? Why didn't you ask? And what were you asking about? And why is it important to you? And all the rest. But at the very least, can you answer me the question? Why didn't you ask?
Right. And then the delivery with, you know, the guitars, the beat, the build up, like, you're not only singing along about regret, but you're doing it like with your fist in the air, you know, you're just like, you're all jacked up about regret. And, you know, there's nothing not to love about this song.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And, you know, I'm kind of curious. I know you've talked to Spiral a lot. Like, based on the sort of relationship you've built up with him over the last few years, like, do you have a sense of what he goes for in his songwriting, like how he's expressing himself?
You know, it's really changed, I think. I think that his vocal has become much more of a tool. He used to sort of sing with that, you know, almost break, like almost that pubescent break, you know, when he sang. And now his voice is like sharp, like it is right on. So I think he takes advantage of that a little bit more when writing a song, not lyric-wise, but when he's writing a song in general. Like, he can be more melodic, and that's nice. Like, that Medley Attack is a great record. It's a really good record. I'm going to listen to it today because it's really good. And then, of course, I just can't help but draw the parallel between Terra Twilight and Let It Be, with Paul and John completely shutting George out of the process. And then George turns around and comes out with All Things Must Pass. And it's, holy shit, it's a double record filled with some of the best songs you've ever heard. And he had that in him. And Spiral came out with PSOI. And while it's not All Things Must Pass, it's, holy shit, you were sitting on all these songs and you couldn't put one on fucking Terra Twilight? You know?
Yeah. And you know, I think one of the reasons I didn't connect with Terra Twilight at the beginning is Spiral to me is that the actual analogy I would use is Lee Ronaldo in Sonic Youth.
Oh, okay.
When you have those Sonic Youth records, like, you know, obviously Thurston and Kim are the marquee and core sounds in there, but like Daydream Nation without Eric's Trip and without Hey Joni, it's not the masterpiece that it is without those. And the Lee Ronaldo songs, like, they fit in the band, but they're a little off to the side of the rest of it. And, you know, it's super melodic and it's fun, but it's not what Thurston and Kim do for the rest of the record. And you're always like, when that, you know, when Moat or Disappear pops up, I think those are his two on Goo. When those pop up on Goo, you're like, yeah, here we go. We're hearing Disappearer now. Do I have that right? The Disappearer is the...
You're asking the wrong dude. Okay. I'll have to do a Sonic Youth podcast at some point. I mean, initially, that was my... Like, I had a blind spot with Early Pavement. I had a blind spot with the EPs. like the three EPs. And so I thought, well, I'll do a podcast where I listen to each EP and, you know, talk about the EP. And then I was like, well, why don't I just do it like song by song, you know? And then that way I get to listen to everything. And that was the genesis of this little beast.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with Sonic Youth, you'd have the same experience where, you know, you're moving along and it's the songs you're used to. And then this gem pops up that's, you know, of a different color and a different tone and a different palette. And I think that's what Spiral brings to these Pavement records.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And the shows. Like, yeah, when you get that Spiral break, when Kennel District comes out, or Date with IKEA, you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, here we go. We're doing this now.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to that Malcolmus thing. But it's a great, I don't want to say interlude, because that's not, maybe it's like a great counterpoint.
Yeah, there's a bit of yin and yang, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I'll just repeat that. My dogs are both in here. Yeah, there's a bit of yin and yang, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, being a fan of the Spiral songs doesn't make you less of a Pavement fan or even less of a Malcolmus fan. It's just, you know, he's one of the main ingredients. Again, this band was started by SM and Spiral Stairs. So without him, it's not Pavement.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Well, Brian from New Jersey, do you have anything that you would like to plug or discuss with people on the World Wide Web?
I guess the only thing I'll plug, I was playing drums in a band here in New Jersey that is now defunct. It went away with the pandemic, but we have stuff up on Bandcamp and everywhere. It's called Diecast Cars.
Diecast Cars.
Yeah, like the toy cars for kids.
Yeah.
It would appeal to fans of Pavement. We are noisy and a little sloppy, but a little poppy and a little rocky and all that kind of stuff. And the guitars are loud. And we also have one of the guitar players, you know, didn't write as much as the other, but he's the Spiral, the Ronaldo of Diecast Cars, and that he's got, you know, two or three things in what we have on the Bandcamp page, and they're gems. You know, not to take away from the other guy, but, you know, when they come up, you're like, okay, we're getting into a different frequency for a few minutes, and right, then we'll go back to that other one.
Cool. Well, check out Diecast Cars on Bandcamp, everybody. It's been great talking to you today, Brian from New Jersey. You've got some wild theories and some theories that I can actually cleave on to. And Kennel District again at number 23. So this
too
has
low.
Been a lot
too
of fun.
Too low, man.
Too low. A lot of fun. So take care, and we'll talk to you soon, Brian. And everybody else, wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.